Revelation chapter 17 and verse 3 reads, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns." So this woman was riding the beast, and the identity of the beast is given in Revelation chapter 13 in verse 1. "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name." And then in verse 4, "So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" So the beast is the Antichrist, and the dragon is Satan, who is the power behind the Antichrist. This woman is distinct from the beast, but yet she is allied with the beast. She has an alliance with the beast, at least for a little while, and she shares in his power. Note, heads and horns denote earthly power. The timing of the authority of this woman, the scarlet woman that we read of in Revelation chapter 17 verses 1 through 6, is the first half of the tribulation. She will have authority until Antichrist, indwelt by Satan, declares himself to be deity and the sole object of worship. So let's look at the scriptures and see what happens at the midpoint of the tribulation. Now, we already covered this, or at the very least alluded to it, but let's go back there. We go to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. "And then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate." And then in Daniel chapter 11, in verse 36 we read, "Then the king shall do according to his own will, he shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. For what has been determined shall be done." And continuing in Daniel, I got a third reference here for you. All of these references are in the Revelation Bible Study Outline, section 39, we're at point G here. Daniel 12:11 reads, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days." We have some interpretation of this prophetic word from Daniel. In Matthew chapter 24, in verse 15, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." So here we see that the authority of this woman is only going to be for the first half of the tribulation, and then all of the authority is going to be transferred, or I guess appropriated would be a better word, appropriated by power, to that of Antichrist and the power behind the Antichrist, the dragon, who is Satan. So Revelation chapter 17 is one of the few parts in the book of Revelation that is not in chronological order. So we could put Revelation 17 here in the midpoint, somewhere like in 12 through 14. But the scarlet woman and her authority only lasts for the first half of the tribulation. So this is what we're doing, is we're looking back upon that time and her authority. And John, the apostle who wrote this letter, is arranging the book of Revelation thematically. So the reason he puts the spiritual harlot here with the great harlot, spiritual adultery, spiritual Babylon, is because we're going to be moving from Revelation chapter 17 into Revelation 18, where we're dealing with political Babylon. So what John is doing is he's arranging this material out a little bit out of sequence in order to build the theme of spiritual Babylon and political Babylon in the alliance between the two. Of course, both of them are part of the worldly system. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 4 reads, "The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication." So this scarlet woman has earthly riches. So even though she's spiritually destitute and full of evil, she has a lot of money, great wealth. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 5 reads, "And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth." So a mystery in the scriptures in the New Testament, this is a term that the Apostle Paul also uses in addition to the Apostle John, is something that is heretofore not made manifest. A mystery is something that is going to be revealed by God and understood by the agency or through the agency of God the Holy Spirit as spiritual truth, but it's something that was not revealed by God in times past, for instance, in the book of Daniel or the Old Testament. The identity of the woman here is what is in question. And we're reading here the name, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. The identity of this woman as the spiritual adulteress woman, this is the apostate religious system which will be in place for the first half of the tribulation, is certain to include the ecumenical crowd. You know these folks who say, I've got my belief, you've got your belief, let's all get together and do kumbaya. Well, these folks are certainly going to be going along with that kind of thing. And of course, one thing that we cannot say is that we can't be dogmatic about the degree of the involvement of specific institutions. Some people have tried to identify this to some degree, lesser or greater, with the Roman Catholic Church. But we've got to be careful that we're not pegging certain things that are on earth today into this place. Now, it's possible that the Roman Catholic Church will have a part in it or lead it or whatever. It theoretically, anything is possible. But we want to be careful that we're not maligning or impugning particular institutions, because it may be that certain institutions will actually be outside of this system. Perhaps they'll no longer exist, or there'll be some sort of revival or reason why they don't align with the Scarlet Woman. Now, this term, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, has its origin way back in the book of Genesis. So this mystery Babylon the Great, this is like the mystery religion cult, right? And the mother of harlots. So we've got this concept of the mother and child, which is something that was often associated in antiquity with the mystery cults, and of the abominations of the earth, which identifies this religious system as earthly in origin and not heavenly in origin. In the very first human attempt at an ecumenical religion, the first attempt at humanism as religion, if you will, took place in Genesis chapter 11. And it took place right smack dab in the land of Babylon. So let's go there to Genesis chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 1 through 9. "Now, the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar." And that the land of Shinar, that's the land of Babylon, ancient Babylon in modern day Iraq. "And they dwelt there, and then they said to one another, Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." So this religion is man-centered. They're looking to make a name for themselves, not a name for the true and the living God. And Satan's on board with whatever is against the worship of the true and the living God. As far as he's concerned, you can worship anything but, and he's perfectly happy to keep company with you in the lake of fire. if you want to follow down that track for your whole life. Verse 5, Genesis 11, 5. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. So no matter how high men would build this thing, this ziggurat, this temple here, the Lord's still going to come down because the Lord's much greater than anything that's on earth. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one and they all have one language and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name, here it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. So the people on the earth were basically going to continue and wax worse and worse, and the Lord had already destroyed the world by a flood, back in Genesis chapter 6 through 9, because every thought and intent of the heart of man was evil. And now here they go again. They're at it again. And basically what the Lord does here is he confuses the language, which disrupts the harmony of this humanistic slash paganistic endeavor that they're going about here. And this is going to sort of keep them... keep the evil at bay. So what the Lord does here, it's an act of mercy. Now, up until this time, there was only one language spoken on the earth, and that language is Hebrew, and we know that that language is Hebrew because if you look at everything leading up, everything before Genesis chapter 10 in the Bible, the names of everything, even like people's names like Adam and Eve and Methuselah and Noah, they only make sense in the Hebrew language. So that was the only language. The Hebrew language is the first language, and that term Hebrew actually is derived from Eber, who's an ancestor of Abram, who became Abraham. He's in the genealogy of the Jewish line, or I guess you would say the seed line, going all the way back to Adam. Okay, I digress, getting a little bit off the track here. So here we see in verse 6, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. So this identifies spiritual Babylon as the agent of the persecution of Christian believers. And a lot of Christians will be martyred in the tribulation days, just as they are today over in North Korea and Iran and Saudi Arabia and some of these places. And we see here that in verse 3, the woman was sitting on a scarlet beast, and the scarlet beast was consolidating power during this first half of the tribulation. And this woman, this spiritual Babylon, this ecumenical crowd, is actually going to go after the Bible-believing remnant. They're going to go after the real Christians. Kind of like today, you got the liberal folks, and they're happy so long as you don't get too dogmatic. The only people they don't seem to like are the fundamentalists. And I consider myself a fundamentalist, a biblical fundamentalist. I hold to the blood of Christ, the true gospel, Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven, a literal heaven and a literal hell, the Trinity. I try to stay separate from the world, separate from the ecumenism and the worldliness and the evil that is out there. So this is fundamentalism. Okay, let's continue in section 40 in your outline. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 7. But the angel said to me, why do you marvel? I tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. So again, we've got that term mystery, something that wasn't revealed before, but it's going to be revealed now. And in verse 8, the beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. So here we have a reference to the death of the Antichrist and his descent into the bottomless pit, and he is the son of perdition. And as we continue in the next segment, we're going to take a look at the counterfeit resurrection. So stay tuned for the next 15.